Help me out, buddy. I was in the sun for 8 hours yesterday. I'm a little sunburnt. I'm sore. I'm tired. Cinco de Mayo, had a little bit of a little celebration as well. It's a quintessential Monday here on the program, and you're here to save it. How are you?
Well, I don't know what I'll be saving, but I'll do my best. I'll give you that, Glass. I'm doing great. It's turning into a beautiful spring day here, isn't it?
We need it to continue. Now, I don't want to get greedy because I don't want to, you know, nobody's like, hey, let's have a great weather Monday. No one's too worried about that. So I need this one for me because, it's a lawn issue. That's how it works. I didn't get a chance to do it. I put it off stupidly. And then all that sunshine on Saturday when graduations were happening and parties and all that were going on. Well, then it rains a little bit. Oh, geez, it's a mess. It's a mess.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You've been busy. You're always busy. We have so many newsy things to get to, and you're going to fill in the gaps that I leave out like always. But most importantly, tomorrow is primary election day from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. Voters in Monroe County and all 92 counties in the state of Indiana must go to their assigned precinct and cast their primary ballot that will shape things up and get the ballot ready eventually for the November election. I know that you and the chamber have tried to push out as much information as possible before tomorrow. There's still time to read up, isn't there?
There is, yeah, you know, and it's time for early voting to come to an end, and I just want to give a huge shout out to the election board and to the clerk's office for making early voting such a wonderful, easy process to participate in. I went down there about a week ago and knocked everything out in about 5 minutes. I mean, they just have it down to a fine science, and it's a great experience. So now, tomorrow, we're hoping all the remaining voters who didn't vote early will go to their polling places at their precincts and cast their ballots there. Of course, this is the primary, which means the Republican Party and the Democrat Party are selecting their nominees for the fall general election in November. And we do have some really important local races here. We've got some very important races at the state level on various sides of the ballot. And so, you know, the chamber just really wants to make sure that every voter that's eligible is going out and make their voice heard. It's interesting. You know, I was on the county council for several years before I came to the chamber, and so I was very familiar with all the election political processes and things. And you have the primary election to select nominees for the major political parties, the Republicans and the Democrats. And so there's this huge population of people in between that are what we call independents, or they don't affiliate with one of the major political parties. And so I think a lot of times what happens with that large segment of the population is they kind of feel like they're not able to vote in the primaries. But, you know, their tax dollars are still paying for these elections. It's not the parties that pay for the primary elections. It's you and me and the businesses and the people who are paying their tax dollars to fund these. So we just want everybody going out. You don't have to be a registered party member to vote in the primaries. You can just go in there, ask for whatever ballot you want, the Republican ballot or the Democrat ballot, and they'll give it to you, no questions asked. That's one thing that we hope people will want to participate in. It's an important civic duty. We need as many people voting as possible and making their voices heard in these elections. I mean, after all, get the most value out of your hard-earned tax dollars. Go participate in these elections.
And believe it or not, local elections, you can change things. It doesn't run from the top down, does it, Eric? It really starts with the local angle for things if you want to make a difference. If you're sitting around wondering, when's the federal government going to come and help and fix what goes on, well, that's just not how it works.
Well, and, you know, I may be a little partial and to local government because that's where I served, but I really did see in those roles how much of an impact local government can have on people's lives. Now, you can be really pleased with the services that you get by your local government and be really happy with that. And you may want to see that continue. And so that's a really good reason to go vote for the local officials. On the other hand, local government might really make your life miserable with a lot of the things that are going on, and you want to see a change. And so that's an important reason why we need people voting in these elections as well, too. So, yeah, I think local government has more impact, day-to-day impact, on a business or a resident and their just kind of day-to-day life than any other level of government. And so it's really, really important that when you're thinking about, you know, what do we want our government to look like? What do we want from our government? What do we want from our community? It's these local officials that are making those decisions with the tax dollars that we're paying. And so it's important that residents are making sure that we're electing people that reflect the values and the things that they want out of our community when they're electing these folks.
Eric Spoonmore, President and CEO of the Greater Bloomington Chamber of Commerce, joining us here on a primary election day eve. Early voting concluded at noon this afternoon, and tomorrow 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., you must vote at your precinct. And why is that important? I think it's more important for newer people. If you've come from a different state that has different election rules, and you think, well, I'll just go down to the place that's closest to me. That's not how it works in Indiana. So we just ask that you go to indianavoters.in.gov, and that's the voter portal. It will answer all of your questions, show you maps. Diane talked about, you know, there's some organizations giving free rides if you need a ride. All that stuff can be found out there. What is the Chamber of Commerce's role, the Greater Bloomington Chamber? What is your role in government and politics? I think sometimes those lines get a little blurred. I'm not sure why, but just, again, clear up any misconceptions about what the role is of the chamber in the political process.
Well, I think sometimes people associate the chamber with, you know, the city or the local government where they exist. We are totally separate from government. So we are not a government agency. We are a membership-based agency that represents the business community. We have over 850 members, employers that are part of the chamber. And so we've been around the community for 108, going on 109 years, and throughout that whole time advocating for policies that allow businesses to thrive and policies that will improve the quality of life here in Bloomington. So obviously that means that we have to work very closely with government decision makers. Again, they're the ones spending the tax dollars that the employees and the employers that we represent are generating. And so we want to make sure that we have a seat at the table when we're advocating for policies that will allow Bloomington and the Monroe County community to thrive and remain strong for generations to come into the future. And so that's kind of where we insert ourselves in the political and government space. We've got a lot of really good relationships with our elected officials. We don't always agree on everything. We do on some things, but, you know, we just want to make sure that we're getting our positions out there and that we're explaining why, you know, the policies that we're advocating for are important for the community. And usually, you know, that's based in what our members are telling us. And so we're their representatives advocating on their behalf to the government decision makers.
Now, the last time we were getting together, you were on your way to the Elect Connect over at Upland. How did that event go? And that's something new you did. And for folks that missed it, well, don't worry, there'll be another one before the November election, right?
Yes, that's right. Yeah, we had a great event over at the Upland Woodshop. We heard from lots of federal-level candidates. We heard from lots of state-level candidates and, of course, our local candidates for commissioner and county council and so forth. And so those are meant to be informative forums open to the public where people can come and hear directly from the candidates seeking office. And it's an important role that we play, I think, is making sure that we are providing opportunities for people to learn more about the candidates, their positions, and how they will address public policy issues if they're elected. So it was a lot of fun. We always enjoy doing that. And you don't have to be a chamber member to attend those. We do that for the community pro bono.
Eric Spoonmore is our guest, the president and CEO of the Greater Bloomington Chamber of Commerce. And you have a big event coming up on Wednesday. Heck, that's just 2 days away. Tell me about the Valor Awards. This is something new that you all put together, and that should be a big lunchtime event at the Monroe Convention Center coming up on Wednesday.
On Wednesday, yes, the debut of the Valor Awards, and we're doing this in partnership with the Bloomington Northside Exchange Club. So this will be kind of a joint effort between the two organizations, and we are so excited for it. We're going to have well over 300 people in attendance. A lot of public safety professionals and the various departments will be there. And we're going to be raising some money for a very important and good and necessary nonprofit organization, Back the Line Monroe County. And they're local here in Monroe County, and they support the families of first responders who are experiencing hardship. A lot of times there's a very high level of stress on this job, a lot of injuries, and a lot of tragedy that can happen at times when you're in these emergency response positions, and that organization helps take care of the families of those folks when those unfortunate times strike. So we're going to be looking forward to that, but we're going to be recognizing a law enforcement officer of the year, a firefighter of the year, a dispatcher of the year, as well as a correctional center officer of the year through the Sheriff's Department. So lots of folks that we're going to be celebrating and honoring for their courage and commitment and dedication to public safety in Monroe County, and just our way of showing our appreciation for that and our commitment to them as a community.
And that's coming up Wednesday. Do you still have any seats available if somebody's just somehow gathering this information for the first time and would like to be a part of it?
Gosh, if we do, it's not much. I think we're full at this point.
Okay.
But, if we do, there's just a, you know, maybe a very small handful left of seats for that.
Well, we mentioned it last time we spoke and the time before that, so we can only lead them to so much water. But that's a great great event coming up on Wednesday. And you speak of Convention Center, I always have to ask when we get together, since you sit on the CIB board as the treasurer, where is that process? I know we had a big celebratory weekend with graduation, and we get distracted by, you know, school getting ready to be out and all the other fun things going on. Where is our big project at as it stands here on the 6th day of May?
Yeah, you know, I think we're making really great progress towards the Convention Center. It doesn't move as quickly as some people would like to see, but remember, you know, these are government units working together, the city and the county and the Redevelopment Commission and the Capital Improvement Board, and all these folks have to kind of make these processes work. And so it doesn't always move as quickly as we like to see, but it's steady, and that's a good thing. So Wednesday is actually going to be a very busy day for me. We got the Valor Awards that morning and into the early afternoon, and then at 3:00, the Capital Improvement Board will be meeting at the Monroe Convention Center in the cook room there, and that's open to the public. We're going to hear some updates on some really important items that we've been discussing, including the RFQ responses that went out for the hotelier that we're looking to join in on this project. So my understanding is we had a handful of responses to that. I haven't seen any of them, but we'll get the first new information on that on Wednesday and who those groups were that were interested. We'll also get an update on the construction managers their responses to the request for proposals that went out, and how we're going to start interviewing those firms. We had six firms that responded to the request for qualifications. So we're going to hear some more information on who we actually want to interview at this point. And then we're also going to get an update on some requests that the Capital Improvement Board had made to the city and to the county for site availability. Now, this is important because There's lots of property in that area that could be used for the expansion. Some of it's owned by the city. Some of it's owned by the county. The county very quickly responded to that request that the Capital Improvement Board made per the interlocal agreement, which stipulated that we needed to make that request of those government units. And so we got the county's response, have not yet received the city's response. We were hoping to receive that by May 6th, so we may receive it yet by the end of today. But that will be an update that we get to see exactly what properties are going to be contributed to this project. There was no surprises with what the county told us. I think all the properties that they listed, and there was a whole litany of them there, were what we were expecting. So that was great to see that, no surprises. And we'll see what the city has to say. And that will, once we know for sure all the properties that are at our disposal for this expansion, we'll be able to determine then what direction that expansion is going to go. Are we going to go north? Are we going to go south? Are we going to go east? And that's the big question that's still up in the air right now, and it's all dependent on what properties are available for us to use. So,
how much of the primary results will affect this project's expeditiousness moving forward?
Oh, I don't think it'll have any real impact.
Well, there you go, folks. You wanted me to ask. Yeah. There's the question. There's the answer.
I think we've got, you know, we had on the interlocal agreement, we had 19 of 20 elected officials sign on to that. I mean, that's 95% agreement. When was the last time we had 95% agreement on anything in this community that involved the city and the county? And so that was great. And I feel very confident that, you know, this is not political anymore. This is not based on, you know, any election results or anything like that. We've got elected officials that are all in on this, 95% of them at least. And so that's great to see.
All right, my friend. Denzel Ross is joining your board of directors. Tell the listeners, if they're not paying attention, who that is and why he was added immediately.
I am just delighted that Denzel Ross is going to be joining the Greater Bloomington Chamber of Commerce Board of Directors. Mr. Ross is the newly appointed. Well, he's not so new anymore. Maybe he's a couple of months in.
That's new.
At IU Health, he's the South Central Region President that replaced Brian Shockney at IU Health, who was took a new role with IU Health up in Indianapolis as, I believe, the chief operations officer. So that made some room for Denzel to come into the community. He's from Arizona, very accomplished hospital administrator. I've met with him a number of times and just so impressed with him and you know, his plans and his leadership style. So we're really pleased that he's going to be having a seat on our board of directors. That we kind of left that open when Mr. Shockney moved up to Indianapolis. So we'd like to have, you know, IU Health is an important employer in the area. They're an important member to the Chamber of Commerce, and so we like to have their representation on the board of directors for sure.
And how often do you add, subtract on that? Do you have any legality you have to follow on how many board members you have? Or is like you mentioned, you just left that spot open after Mr. Shockney left?
Yeah, we have our bylaws kind of outline the vacancy and recruitment process. And so board members can serve for a total of 9 years in three-year increments. So once they've hit that ninth year, then they roll off and we have to replace them with a new board member. In Mr. Ross's case, he'll just be continuing out the remaining years on Brian Shockney's term before he left. So he'll have a little bit fewer than 9 years remaining. But there's a nominating committee that is appointed by the chair of the board, Scott Shishman. He puts that together, and they go out and nominate new members. There's really not a whole lot this year. We've got potentially one vacancy that we need to fill on the board, and that needs to be done by September, so we've got some time to figure all that out. But if anybody is, you know, you have to be a chamber member to serve on the board of directors. If anybody's interested, we're always looking for folks that are that have a desire to serve and want to participate in all of the things that the Chamber's doing in the community to improve our quality of life here.
Awesome job as always, my friend. I will get back with you before the showcase and the golf outing and. You got 100 things going on in May. There's 100 other things going on in May. The election is tomorrow, folks. Election day, 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. Get out and vote, and we will talk to Eric. We'll talk to you down the line, buddy. Enjoy the sunshine this afternoon.
Yeah, you too. Thanks so much, Glass. Always great to catch up, and I look forward to doing it next time.